Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your touch. Oh, God, you're awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, aren't you thankful? The mercy of God, it's fresh, it's new every day. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? It's kind of like when my daughters get in their car. They've been driving all week on that gas tank. And I get in and need to go somewhere. At least one of them. The other one's looking at me. She's like, no, I always buy my mom a gas. And Dad fills it up. And then they get back in, and it's fresh tank, ready to go. And then a couple days, I get back in, and it's empty again. And amen. But I tell you, the mercy of God, it's fresh, it's new, it's restored every day. You can't use up all the mercy of God in one day. Thank the Lord, He's good to us. He's good to us. Amen. If you're visiting today, thank you for joining with us at Harvest. We're so glad to have you here, and it's great to see all of our home folks. Amen. If you would stand with me, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I do want to say one thing. I do just one quick announcement. We are going to be updating our video camera system, and that includes everything that we've done in the past for Facebook Live and all of our recording of the services. And so we are going to pause Facebook Live during the season of updating. We're trying to get where we need to be, perhaps even maybe this week with some of those answers. And we're going to have a new system that's more professional, a digital camera system. And so if you know anyone that is a shut-in that's not able to make it to the services, please let us know in the meantime of getting this worked out, and we will be sure to get them a DVD of the services so that they can join in with us. If you would let us know, we'll make sure and put that on the list. And we want to make sure nobody is left out. Amen. And, of course, at any time, you can contact our resource center, and they can get you a DVD of service. But there's a special list for those that are shut-ins and not able to come and all of that. And we would love to know if there's someone that's in that situation so that we can share our services with them. They can stay plugged in and still be blessed. Amen. This will be in the meantime, so we'll be working to formulate this and get to where we need to be as far as our video, and I'm excited about this. Facebook is a marketing tool, and it's one that's used by a lot of people, but we want to make sure that we're presenting the best way possible, our services, and allowing us also to feel free in worship and not changing the atmosphere here in the services. So we're looking at all these different things. And I'm thankful I'm thankful for technology, let's say. Amen. I don't know if I'm thankful for Facebook or not. I'm on there a few times here and there. But anyway, it is a tool. It is a method that we can use. And I believe that what we do on social media ought to be uplifting. It ought to be encouraging. I don't believe we should take digs at people. There's been a few times that I've been tempted to take a little dig at somebody or this one or that one, you know, with what I post, and something checks me. And it ought to be uplifting. It ought to be encouraging. We're the people of God. There's enough junk in the world. I don't need to add my negative emotions to Facebook, I tell you. Amen. We need to be a light that shines. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Oh, isn't that something? For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And then verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Amen. I want to preach to us on this subject today, God's building. God's building. Dear Lord, we thank you for the moving of your presence, for the power of your Spirit, for the atmosphere of praise and worship that is in this house. We thank you for your glory that has filled this place. We thank you for your healing touch that has already gone forth in our midst today. God, we thank you for the work that you have started. I pray, God, that you would continue to complete it in us. And I pray, God, that you would minister, work in every life. I pray that you would build in us. Help us, God, to become what you have designed for us to be. And we give you all the glory and all the praise, all of the honor, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Isn't he good? Amen, amen. God is so good. God bless you. You may be seated. Since ancient days, mankind has always sought to build places and points of worship. It started with altars. Cain and Abel each offered a sacrifice, although Scripture does not record their parents building an altar, they must have seen that done somewhere. It only makes sense to assume that following the first offering recorded in Scripture, when God made clothes of animal skins for Adam and Eve, God must have somewhere instructed them to make such offerings going forward. And so naturally, they would have passed this information down onto their children. Of course, there have been untold altars and temples constructed since that point in Genesis. Some places have been constructed in worship unto the one true God. There's been many places that were constructed in worship to false gods. The human race has always been temple builders. From the ruins of extinct nations to the many modern-day religions all over the world, there are many temples and many places of worship. We know of Solomon's great temple, which was later destroyed by the Babylonians. The second temple was constructed under Zerubbabel, and it was later refurbished by Herod the Great. Then, of course, it was eventually destroyed by the Romans. We know that there will be a third temple, and that plays into end-time prophecy. Other temples and places of worship to various gods in the world include St. Peter's in Rome, Indian temples in Mexico and South America, the Dome of the Rock there in Jerusalem, and many, many even in the United States, Muslim, Hindu, Mormon, and other places of worship. It's interesting to see this last week news reports that Tom Brady, the winning Super Bowl quarterback, giving credit to his wife for the win. Anybody see that? Because she's a witch. Well, a good witch, he says. And Tom Brady told of the altar that she built for him to take to the game. whether it's altars or temples, the fact is all of those places of worship will crumble. All of those temples and all of those altars made with human hands will crumble one day. But there is a place that's greater than all of these. And we each here today have the ultimate opportunity to be ourselves a place of worship that can live on and on in eternity, where the one true God is worshiped in spirit and in truth. If we will allow ourselves to be part of God's building, then our lives will be a part of the greatest temple that has ever been and ever will be. Oh, I pray today that we realize this marvelous privilege that is available to us today to be a part of the greatest sanctuary that there's ever been, be a part of the greatest temple that there's ever been, as God's Spirit lives inside of us. God is the master builder. He has a master plan. And with meticulous care, he is building his kingdom. Just look at what God did in creation. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God then created the land and the sea. He created plants and trees. Go over everything here, and you see how he looked up at the heavens, and he created the sun and the moon and the stars, and he created all the life that dwells in the seas. And he said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth." He created man in his own image. And he gave man dominion over all the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's why I don't really stress out about squashing that spider or that creepy crawly thing. God gave me dominion over those things. Sister McCoy, you hear that? God gave you dominion over those. But God is a builder. A builder. Job 26 and 7 reads, "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing." Hebrews 11 and 3 declares, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." John chapter 1 and verse 3, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Colossians 1 and 15 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." There is one God who is greater than all things. He is greater than all things, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, and all things were created by him. Hey, there's a lot of buildings in this world. There are a lot of temples, a lot of places of worship in this world. But I tell you, there's one God who is greater than all of that. He is greater than all of that. He created all things. He set it into motion. It was by his breath that we even have a life today. We all deserve. He deserves all of our praise and worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hebrews 3 and 4 declares, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is
God.
You see, we've been given a choice today. We have the freedom to choose. Who will we worship? Whom will we worship? Many in this life, they will choose to worship a God of their own creation. Something that they've constructed with their own hands. Isn't that something? Paul, he wrote to the Romans. He described this foolishness. People who trade the glory of the ever-living, immortal God for some type of idol that's built to look like a person or a bird or an animal or a creeping thing. Changing the truth of God into a lie. Worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. Can you believe it today? But today there is so much more for every single one of us. We must not lower ourselves to worship the creation more than we worship the Creator of all things. But God is a master builder, and He created everything, and He's looking to build a building that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I don't know about you, but my goal is to be a part of it, to be a part of this building that God is creating, to be a part of this kingdom that He is putting together, to be a part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This God of creation is building His people. To think He's created all of this, but now He's turned His attention on us. Now He looks at us, building His people. Somebody say, He's still working on me. Thank the Lord. He didn't just create us and then leave us alone. But He's still working. He's still building. Even when I can't see it, He's working. Even when I don't see the effect of what He's doing, He's still working on me. He's still building His kingdom. He's still building His body. I can't see it always with my natural eye. I can't always understand it in my mind and in my heart, but He's still working and He's still moving. He's not yet there to the finished product, but I'm going to keep trusting Him and I'm going to keep letting Him work on me. I'm going to keep submitted to Him because He's still working. He has great dreams for what we are meant to be. He said in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I believe that this is exactly why the devil dreamed up the evil and sadistic practice of abortion. Because he knows the plans that God has for every soul. Every soul that is created at that moment of conception, I believe that God's word is true and He has plans for that soul. And the devil desires to destroy those plans of God. God told Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Of course, today we extend our love and we extend our comfort to those who perhaps in their moment of circumstance, they didn't see any other hope, and so that they were convinced by the evil culture of this world that the only choice that they had was to end that life within them. And whether people want to admit it or not, they carry that pain for the rest of their lives. The church is to love people like that who have made that painful decision. But somebody also has to stand up for the innocent who cannot defend themselves. Somebody has to send up a cry for the unborn, that soul that's created by God, that life within the womb which is unprotected in our society. And if the church won't stand up for them, who will? God has created every single one of us for a purpose. He has plans for us. He has thoughts of peace toward us. He has an expected end for every single one of our lives. He never stops working. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Another translation says it like this, for we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He's planned for us long ago. Every one of us here today need to realize that we are a masterpiece designed on purpose by God. He put a lot of thought into us. He put a lot of plans into us. He put a lot of effort into making us who we are. And it's all for a specific purpose. He has some good works for you to do. He has some good things for us to do. He has a place for us in His grand plan. Today we're part of something wonderfully glorious and magnificent. It's the master plan of God, and we have a place in it. We are God's building. There are some who resist the touch of God upon their life. They refuse to let Him build them into what He has designed for us to be. And in their short-sightedness, they do not realize that they have limited their own potential. Because God means the absolute best for us. When He sets His hand upon our life, it's not to destroy us, but it's to create something good in us for His purpose. And I tell you today, always with God, the end product will be much greater than the beginning. But we have to submit to the hand of God upon our lives. We've got to give the master builder access to our heart. We have to relinquish control and let Him work on us. You know, we can go out to the woods and find a tree. It may be a beautiful tree, or it may be an ugly tree. It may be straight. It may be crooked. It could be large. It could be small. When someone looks at a tree with an untrained eye, they wonder, how could this tree ever become a house? How can it ever be fashioned into something other than what it is right now? You look at the tree and its bark is rough and perhaps it's out of shape and it has limbs coming out of it at odd angles, and there's leaves all over it. How could this ever be transformed into a house or a table or a fence or a boat or countless other things that are made of wood? But the builder takes that tree, and in his wisdom and in his skill, he transforms it into something of his fashioning. He makes something beautiful. He makes something useful. You see, to one of us, it may look like a rock. It may be dirty. It's rough. It's ugly. But to the trained professional, they see the beauty inside that rock. They see the diamond in the rough. They know that a good cleaning and a little polishing and some skilled cutting, and that ugly rock is transformed into a dazzling jewel. The master builder can take our lives. Yes, we're rough and we're dirty and we're bent out of shape and we're so limited in ourselves, but He gets to work in on us. Oh, and it might take some cutting and it might take some sanding off of the rough edges. There might be some breaking that goes on in our lives. It takes some polishing there, but in the end, when we submit ourselves to the master builder and the hands of the master are finished with us, He transforms us into something beautiful for His purpose. Come on, I've come to tell somebody today, you might look in the mirror and it seems like God can never do something useful with your life, but God already has dreamed up a purpose. He's already dreamed up a plan. He's already got a good idea about what He's going to do through you and in you. You just relax and you let the Lord work. You let Him transform you. You let Him work on you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Somebody today does not need to be conformed to this world.
This world tells you you're no good for nothing. This world tells you you're a failure. This world tells you that you've got problems and you can never be a success. But you need to let the Lord transform your mind, because He's got something good. He's got something acceptable. He's got a perfect will for your life. Come on, we've got to resist the thinking of this world and say, God, keep working on me. God, keep working on me. Lord, sand off those rough edges. Cut off those things that aren't useful. But God, make me into something for your glory. We're designed for more than just our own purpose. Our life is more than just about dreams and plans that we came up with. It's more than just about our desires, but God wants to build us into His purpose. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 in our text, "For we are laborers together with God." You're God's husbandry. You are God's building. God is building a church. God is building a church. And His church is not a temple made with man's hands. Verse 16 of our text says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Do we realize who we are to be today? We are created to be the temple of Almighty God. That is who we are made to be. We are to be the dwelling place of His eternal Spirit. Greater than any temple built with man's hands. More beautiful than the Taj Mahal or any structure here on this earth. We are His building. Read in Acts chapter 7, verse 47. "But Solomon built him an house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is my place of rest?" God's not looking for a building that's made with man's hands, but God is looking for a people who will open up their hearts and they will let His Spirit live inside of them. 2 Corinthians 6:16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." I tell you, that is the plan of God for our lives. That is God's desire. That is God's hope. That is God's dream. He wants to dwell in us, and He wants to walk in us. He will be our God, and we shall be His people. Don't you take that lightly today. Don't take that lightly today. God can have any dwelling place that He chose. It could be covered with gold. It could be fashioned with precious stones. It could be greater than anything we've ever seen on this earth. But He chooses our heart. He chooses our life. He wants to dwell inside of every one of us. Come on, can you feel that tug at your heart today? Can you feel His Spirit standing at the door of your heart? Can you hear His knock? He wants to come in. He wants to fill our lives. But we've got to open ourselves to Him. We've got to make room for Him in our lives. And if we're so full of stuff that there's no room for Him, if we're so busy with life, we don't take time for Him. He's a gentleman, and He'll pass on by. If we think, well, I'll let Him in, but it'll be on my own terms, He doesn't force Himself. He'll move along. But if we surrender, and if we'll open up to Him, if we'll give our lives to Him completely, He'll come in and it'll be the best decision we've ever made. Hallelujah. How do we do that? Do we just pray, Lord, come into my heart? That's a good place to start. But we have to make room for Him in our lives. We have to repent of our sins. He's not going to come into a dirty temple.
We have to ask God to forgive us and cleanse us of every sin that we've done. And when we've asked Him to forgive us, He will remove our sins. And then baptism is a washing of our souls. It's being buried with Him so that He can give us new life. If you've never been baptized in the greatest name of Jesus Christ, I tell you, it is a must. We must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And then sometimes before someone's baptized or sometimes after sometime people are baptized, He fills our life with His Spirit. And just like the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, suddenly they began speaking in tongues through the Holy Spirit as God filled their hearts. I tell you, that can happen here today. That ought to happen here today to every single person in this house, every single one of us here. If you've never received His Spirit, if you've never spoken in tongues, it's not something that was just for Bible days, but it's for us today. It's the greatest gift that there is. If you'll make a commitment to God, if you'll repent of your sins, if you'll ask Him to come in to fill your heart, I believe that God will fill you with His Spirit today. You'll have the same sign that they had on the day of Pentecost. You will speak with other tongues as the Spirit speaks through you. God's building. God's building. Anybody remember that old song? I don't know if they sing it in Sunday school today. Building up the temple. Building up the temple. Anybody remember that? Building up the temple of the Lord. Brothers, come and help us. Sisters, come, won't you help me? We got a soloist right here. I think she ought to stand and sing it for us. Brothers, brothers, won't you help me? Sisters, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord. Some verses to that. You know the verses? I looked them up on the internet. I am the temple. I am the temple. I am the temple of the Lord. Brothers, won't you help me? Sisters, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord. Yes, there's some hand motions with that. Come on, I knew some of you remembered that. There's another one. You are the temple, you are the temple, you are the temple of the Lord. Brothers, won't you help me? Sisters, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord. Come on, everybody. We are the temple, we are the temple, we are the temple of the Lord. Brothers, won't you help me? Sisters, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord. We are God's building. We are His temple. We are the temple of His Spirit. Come on, somebody, say, I am the temple. Come on, look at somebody, say, you are the temple. Come on, we are the temple of God. It's God's building. He's building us into His temple where His Spirit is going to dwell and His power is going to move. I want to tell you today, you're a blessed people. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, it is the temple of Almighty God that created heaven and earth. You're not average. You're not ordinary. You're not useless. But God's power is inside of you. I believe in the last days that God is calling His church to a greater level and a greater dimension of power than we have ever seen before. But we've got to realize who we are in Christ. We've got to realize what we have inside of us. You have power to cast out demons. You have power to heal the sick. You have power to raise the dead. Come on, Daniel. Come on, Kenan. When you walk through the doors of that school, Daniel, when I drop you off and you go through that door, you need to realize the power and authority you have through the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, when you go to that job, you need to realize the glory that dwells around you, because you are the temple of Almighty God. The Shekinah glory of God, it entered that place of the temple where the priest could not even minister. If we could get so full of the Holy Ghost that when we walk into our office and we walk into our job, all of a sudden people start weeping. They start crying because the glory of God is manifest in that place. And I want to tell you, God wants his temple to be clean. Just like we have to let them clean it out in the beginning, we need to keep it clean. That's why there's things we don't do. There's places we don't go. There's things we don't watch. There's stuff we don't put in our bodies. There's language we don't say, because we don't want to do anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit in our life. We must protect the temple of the Holy Ghost. We must protect God's building. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." We're being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And in Jesus, that whole building is fitted together. It's becoming a holy temple unto the Lord. God is building his church. We've got to remember today, church is not just a building. Church is not just here built out of bricks and mortar. It's not just a structure made with men's hands. Oh no, it's more than just that. But I tell you today, his church is built of people. His church is built of people. His church is built of people. All kinds of people, all colors of people, all types of people. We are the church. We are the church. And he's not done, but he's got more people that are gonna, he's going to build into his church. He's calling them out of the world, and we're going to help reach them, and we're going to help pray them through, and we're going to help teach them. We are the church. We are his people. We've been called out of sin. We've been baptized. We've been filled with the Spirit. We are God's build. 1 Peter 2 and 5, "Ye also as lively stones are built up into a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." The church is built out of people like stones that are alive, a building fitted together in Jesus Christ, a church built of people. And he chooses to put us where he wants us to be in his building. And he works on us, and he places us where we can serve him in his building. We don't decide for ourselves what and who and where and how we want to be, but he works on us because it's his church. It's his building. Newsflash today, God owns this church. God owns this church. Sometimes we get to thinking, well, I own this church. I pay my tithes. I pay my offerings. It's God's church. I fear that too many view the church as a business, as their own kingdom, as their own building. But it's not ours. It's God's church. And it's such a relief. It's such a calming thing when we realize that we don't have to be in charge, but we let it be God's church, and we let him direct us where he wants us to be, and we let his Spirit lead and guide us so that he is God and we can be his church. When people think they own the church, they don't trust in God. They have to control every little thing. They have to manipulate and work things out to benefit them. They're building their own kingdom. It's all about them and what they can get out of the church. When things go good, they take the credit. But when things go bad, they're going around trying to fix it themselves because in their eyes, it's their church and not God's church. I want to tell you today, God doesn't have to have us to fix His church. God doesn't have to have us to fix His church. He said in Matthew 16:18, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God's going to have a church. It'll be tried. It'll be true. It'll be a holy church. It'll be a separated church. It'll be a powerful church. It'll be a revival church. It'll be a loving church. It'll be a worshiping church. And it's going to stand. It's going to stand. It's going to make it through the fiery trials of life. It's going to come out of the fire. Yes, it'll be tried, it'll be tested, but it's going to be revealed by the fire, and it's going to give Him all the glory because it's His church. He bought the church, He built the church, and we're going to give Him glory. Would you do that right now? Would you just lift your hands and give God glory? This church is His. This church is His. It's not a business, but this church is His. It's not our kingdom, but this is His kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The church is not a business. Yes, we have to be good stewards with what God has entrusted us with, but we don't run the church strictly on business principles. The church is a spiritual thing. It's not owned by man. It's owned by God. He's the one that created it. He's the one that died for it. He gives the church power. He protects the church. It's His building. What truth we find in Psalm chapter 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. There are many in the Word of God who labored in vain. Cain built his altar in vain. The men of Babel labored in vain. Lot moved into the Jordan Valley in vain. The engineers of Jericho, it was all in vain. And all the rich farmers planning and building, it was all in vain. The rich young ruler had invested all in vain. The man who built on the sand, he wasted all of his effort. It was built in vain. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. What happens to us when we devote our lives to building something that's of our own design? We invest years in constructing it. All of our efforts in building our own kingdom. All of our resources that we think, hey, this is how it ought to be. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. God, let this be a church of your building. Let this be a church of your building. Let us be people of your building. Let this be the body of Christ that you have put together. Let this be a place ordained by God. Because if we try to build it ourselves, if we construct it on our own foundation, it's according to our will and our desires. And it will come to naught. But if it's God's building, and it's going to last through time and circumstance. Oh, if it's God's building, it will remain. In Acts chapter 5, the chief priests were gathered. They were discussing all that was happening with the apostles and these disciples of Jesus, troublemakers. They had thrown the apostles in prison. But the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and delivered them. Somebody came and said, hey, those guys you put in prison, they're out in the temple teaching the things of the Lord, of Jesus. So they bring them in and they say, hey, didn't we tell you not to teach in this name anymore? And now you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine. But that's when the apostles declared, we ought to obey God rather than men. God was building his church. When the council heard all of this, they wanted to kill him. They were ready. But there was a man named Gamaliel. I don't believe he had the Holy Ghost. I'm pretty sure he didn't. But he did have some wisdom. And he said in Acts chapter 5, verse 38, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. If it's of men, it'll come to naught. But if it's of God, it can't be overthrown. If this church today is built by men, if this is a man's business, if it's under our control, it won't amount to anything. But if it's of God, oh, if it's of God, if it's of God's building, then it shall remain. Except the Lord build the house. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, or chapter 3, verse 9. For we're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed to how he buildeth. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He goes on, says, you can put on it gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. But every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, and it's going to be revealed by fire. Fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. Except the Lord build the house. Would you stand with me today? Shut up. Could be said that life is a sand castle built one grain of sand at a time. Who we are today is affected by who we were yesterday. How we look at life, how we respond to life is affected by things we've gone through. We are each a building ourselves. If you would look at your life today, if you would look beyond just the physical, if you would look as God sees your life, all that's gone into making you who you are today. Who built that? Was it because, well, I wanted to do this, and I wanted to do that, and I made that decision, and then I did that. So now here we are. And everything that's brought us to the place that we are today is of our own choosing and our own decisions.
Or do we look at her life and we find maybe it started out like that. But somewhere along the way, there was a point where we came to an altar. We said, God, this life is not my own. And I want your will. I can remember, Brother Wiggins, I can remember, I was a preacher's kid. I don't know how much money we had, but I just thought we were broke. And I made up in my mind, I'm not going to be a preacher. I'm going to get into business, and I'm going to make some money. And when I graduated from high school, that was on my mind. And I went to university, and I enrolled in business school, and they taught us about making money and investing money and protecting money. And oh, it was exciting. I remember graduating from college, and there was four of us guys that were pretty close, and they started getting these job offers. And we all did the same thing. We had the same grades. We took the same classes. And it was like every door was shut. And I don't tell you this to brag upon me, but just tell you, we all come to this moment. And there was a preacher came by, and he was on staff at Texas Bible College. He had a background in accounting, and he talked to me, and he said, well, what are you doing? What's next? And I didn't know. I just wanted to make money. He said, well, have you considered Texas Bible College? And at that moment, I had a choice. From this day forward, is my life going to be what I've chosen? Or is it going to be what God chooses? And every single one of us come to that moment in life. It may have been when you were 4 years old. It may be when you're 53. For some, they wait and they hold on all the way till they're 85. But we're going to have to make a choice today. Am I going to be my building, or am I going to be God's building? I reach to every young person in this house today. God has a future plan for you. It may include some of the dreams and the plans that you have, because it could be that God placed them there in your heart. But it could be that it's taking a different approach than you've ever even considered. But at an altar today, you can come before the Lord and say, God, I want my life to be your building. Because I want to accomplish something that's going to last. I want to be a building that's going to be an eternal building, that's going to house your presence and your spirit, that's going to do a work for you and bring you glory. Oh, I reach for every parent today. I reach for every elder in the house today. Come on, it's not our will. It's not our will, but God, it's got to be your will. I pray that you would move upon every heart, Lord. I pray that you would speak to every mind. I pray that you would reach for every person in this house, Lord. And help us to submit to your plan, to your will, to your building in our lives. Praise the Lord. I invite you here around the front today to pray together. And I wonder if you would come with a humble heart. I wonder if you'd come with an open heart and say, Lord, I want your will. I want to be your building. I want to be your purpose, God. I want to fulfill your dreams in my life. God, you are the builder of my life. Hallelujah. Come on, there's children here. There's elders here. Come on, would you join us in prayer today? God, keep working on me. Keep working on me. God, keep working on me. Lord, move upon my life. Move upon my heart, God. Build me into what you've designed me to be.